Dr. Jerry Punch, longtime pit reporter, here with us, and lap-by-lap announcer, too. Dr. Punch, how you doing?
Chase, I'm great. Good to be with you this morning.
Yes, thank you so much for taking some time to join us. Let's start with what's been going on with you. How has the last year been for Dr. Jerry Punch?
Probably like everybody else. I hope I never hear the words quarantine again. But everything that I was scheduled to do, I'm not a full-time ESPN guy anymore. That after 33 years, that sort of went away at the end of 18. But I was asked to come back and do college football and do other events and sports, and I've been going and doing some things in IndyCar racing and staying busy doing a podcast with my daughter. The long story short, a lot of the things that I've been doing, corporate speaking events, USA Today, in fact, one of the high school award shows we have there in Nashville, it had to be canceled, and we did it virtually on a national scale, but all those things went away. So we just sort of sat around and waited for hopefully us to get a handle on the virus, and thankfully, after a year, we seem to be heading that direction. Motorsports fans are coming back. We have a basketball tournament. Little tournament headed. It's going on in town there in Nashville. That didn't happen a year ago. It started to happen and then got shut down very quickly. So, yeah, we're coming out the backside. But answer your question, things that last, not a lot for 6 or 8 months, and then suddenly the last few months we've gotten busy. I went over and it was with Dale Earnhardt Jr. Last week to do as a guest on his show, and we were talking about a lot of things there. By the way, he's excited to be at Nashville Super Speedway. That's going to be the opening race, I think, for NBC. They're all excited to get back.
Correct.
And be able to get back to a racetrack, which I always love. I broadcast a lot of races on ESPN from there over the years, and trucks and Xfinity and IndyCar. So I can't wait for that to get opened back up.
Yeah, we're excited to have the sport back. Well, IndyCar is coming here too, so we'll get into that. But let's talk about Rolling with the Punches, the podcast that you're doing. I think that's really cool that you're able to share that with your daughter.
It is. It's I was talking to Dale Jr. about how you want to follow in your father's footsteps and how thrilled it is. And I told him, I said, your dad, if he were here today, would be so proud of you for not only what you've done with your driving career, but, the father and husband you are. But now with my daughter, Jessie, who works for NASCAR, she grew up with a passion for NASCAR like I did. And so we it was her idea, and some people inside the building there in Charlotte said, why don't you do this thing with your dad? Because he's been around for all these years, meaning I'm old. But he said, he can reach out and touch the legacy fans and talk about some of the great moments in NASCAR when this happened and that happened with Richard Petty and Kelly Arbor and Pearson and Elliott and Waltrips and Earnhardt. And he said, and then she does a show with NASCAR, and she does with the current drivers and the future stars, the young up-and-coming drivers. So you two guys can sort of span 6 decades and tell stories. And so that's where we are. We started doing it. We've gotten really, really good feedback. Started this last year, gotten great feedback. We started having special guests on to tell their story, people I've met over the years. And what we tried to do is model it, not only talking about what happened last week and what may happen this week in NASCAR in all the series, even going back down to some of the regional series, but also maybe a little bit of best you didn't know behind the scenes, sort of the old, like Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story kind of deal. We stories I couldn't tell on the air at ESPN years ago, but now we can tell the backstory of how this really happened. So it's maybe, I think fans, from the feedback we're getting, fans enjoy that part as well.
Yeah, I love that stuff. And, listening to your podcast and Dale Jr.'s, and, just because I think people love to be able to go backstage, as they say, and learn those things that they didn't know. And I've been a fan of the sport my entire life, but listening to, some of these podcasts that you're all doing and learning more, I mean, it's fascinating for me to hear some of these stories.
Well, thank you. Chase, I appreciate that. I love telling them, and I love being a part. The diehard, the core NASCAR fans years ago when it was a regional sport, haven't really gone away. They just need to reconnect a little bit. I think they're starting to do that now. But when ESPN when ESPN got NASCAR, we lost NASCAR at the end of 2000, and then we were gone for 6 years and got it back in 2007. But all the executives that were there with NASCAR up until 2000, they all left. The motorsports guys, the motorheads, the guys that love motorsports. And so when we got it back in 2007, they had people that were in charge of the sport who really didn't know much about it. And so suddenly here's me and Rusty Wallace that are going to call the races along with Andy Petrie and later Dale Jarrett. So our job is to go to ESPN and try to explain to these people what NASCAR is about. And I'll never forget going into a room with a bunch of Sports Center executives and a couple of upper-level executives and saying, this is what NASCAR is. And one of the executives stood up and said, you know, our coverage of NASCAR will not include, will absolutely not include any country music. No country music. And I stood up and said, Rusty and I stood up and said, what? That's like taking hot dogs out of a baseball park. You can't do that. He said, it's going to be Aerosmith and Steven Tyler and blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, holy cow. And so I stood there, probably not a good move on my part initially, but I stood there and I said, tell you what, let's do it. Let's you and I walk through the infield at Talladega, because it was still, you know, in a couple of weeks. We still hadn't taken over yet, but they were making plans, because they grew up in the Northeast where country music maybe wasn't a big thing, genre for him. He was a big, you know, rock. And anyway, so I said, I tell you, let's do this. You and I walk through the infield at Talladega, and for every Steven Tyler or Aerosmith song you hear, I'll give you $1. And then for every Garth Brooks song you hear, you give me $1, and I promise you I'll retire by the time we get to turn two. I said, people love country music in the sport. It's part of the fabric of the sport. I said, it is what it is. And so they were not, they just didn't understand. And quite honestly, I remember doing a race in Nashville. We came on the air with some shots from downtown Nashville with all the music going on, the people milling around. And I said, welcome to Music City, USA, you know, Nashville, Tennessee, and so and so. And we came on and did it on camera. And I asked Dale Jarrett and Rusty Wallace and Andy Petrie, I said, okay, if today's race were a country music song, what would the title be? And they all came up with a cute little title about what we're going to watch today and who's going to do what. And so we went to commercial, and I mean, my cell phone rang, and it was the bosses up in the northeast. I won't say a city because they were just livid that we had done that. It's not about country. I said, you know, holy cow, you know, get a clue. Well, anyway, so I was glad to see Fox and NBC come on the air and do and embrace country music and embrace some of the fabric, all different kinds of music, obviously, but right, embrace the fabric that is a sport. And I'm thrilled to see NASCAR going back, and now IndyCar going to the Nashville area.
Yeah, we are too. Dr. Jerry Punch here with us. And so, yeah, they're going to race out at the Super Speedway that you spend a lot of time at. That's going to have the trucks and the Xfinity Series and the Cup Series. And then IndyCar, what do you think about this? Running the streets of downtown Nashville, the Indy Grand Prix. I can't wait for that, because I've never been to any type of race like that. I've actually never been to an IndyCar race, which is hard to believe. But watching them run the streets of downtown is going to be fantastic.
Well, I think it is. You know, and quite honestly, Teddy Phillips and a lot of the folks that were involved in putting that together in downtown in Nashville, his whole team, I spoke to them a year ago off and on. And we talked about it, and as they were getting ready to go meet with Roger Penske. And I said, it's going to be a huge win-win for you guys, for Nashville, for IndyCar. And Roger Penske, I don't care if he's 81 or whatever, he's a visionary. And he gets it. He understands. And when those guys went up and met with Penske, he embraced it. You know, what's not to love about Nashville, Tennessee, but to have the Tennessee Titans involved, the folks mm-hmm. that, you know, there's so many different elements that check all the boxes, you know, big machine records. So they're going to have, you know, venues all over town with live music, you know, live country music, all different kinds of music. It's going to be like a festival, sort of like its own Mardi Gras. And then you're going to have the IndyCar race, where I think the garage area is going to be over by Nissan Stadium. And then they're going to race across a bridge. They've never run IndyCars across a bridge like that through the streets. If you've ever been to a Formula One race in Monaco or anywhere in Europe or some of the streets, IndyCar, they run in St. Pete, which is a little bit like Monaco with the yacht club. It is really a fabulous, fabulous couple of days. people can mill around. They can go to souvenirs. They can go to all kinds of the vendors. The merchants are going to love it because, you know, selling food on the streets, souvenirs, T-shirts, and then the music. It combines all these worlds of the NFL and the right. IndyCar racing, the high-tech IndyCar racing, you know, country music, entertainment, everything Nashville has been about to welcome in newer fans. I think it's going to be a huge success, and I'm hoping that we continue to make progress in the right direction in terms of, you know, what's going on with COVID and the vaccine, which it seems like we are, especially here in Tennessee, and we can get a huge crowd allowed to come.
Yeah, I'm hoping for that too, because, you know, having a packed house Father's Day weekend in June at the Super Speedway and then also for the Grand Prix is just going to be huge for the evolution of racing in this market. And, you know, you have Bristol, obviously, in East Tennessee, and then to have Nashville now in Middle Tennessee be able to put their stamp on things again, because we know the history of racing in this town. And you mentioned going on with Dale Jr. and the Dale Jr. Download. He has been a big part of trying to get racing back at the Nashville Fairgrounds as well. Why do you think that's so passionate for him to try and help our city with not only the other two races that are coming here, but the historic fairgrounds?
Well, I think that it's a great question. I think they do a show called Lost Speedways, and he grew up mm-hmm. when he was a kid. He didn't get to go to a lot of the tracks his dad raced, but he heard about them when his dad got home. And now it's a passion for him to go to some of the tracks that don't exist anymore. And once you get there and you start talking to people around the racetracks and people in the community, you get sad because you hear about all the great things that happened. You pull up the videos of Richard Petty. He's got, you know, a shot of Richard Petty making a pit stop and Wendell Scott pitting right beside Richard Petty. That's history. Wendell Scott breaking the color barrier, all the things he had to battle, and that's Richard talking about Wendell. I mean, that's stuff that you just hate to lose. And so, you know, Nashville is in that category. It's a track that I remember going to the Nashville Fairgrounds years and calling races. Ned and I calling races. We were on radio. I remember doing PA there for NASCAR and qualifying. It was just, I mean, the Marty Robbins, you know, Darrell Waltrips, the Utzman boys, Sterling Marlin, you go on and on and on. Mike Alexander, all the drivers over the years that were superheroes that raced there, and they packed them in, and it was just such a fun venue. Plus, it was Nashville. You go to the race, and you could leave there, and you could go eat in town, and go listen to music, and go to a club. It had everything you would want. So I think Dale Jr., like myself, you know, really wanted to get NASCAR back at the fairgrounds. Love we got IndyCar coming. Love you got Nashville Super Speedway coming. So you sort of got all different. It checks all different boxes. But I think Dale Jr. probably, like me, didn't realize that there were a lot of things that had to be looked at and considered before they would go with the fairgrounds. I mean, he went over there with Marcus Smith. They went and met with the governor. They went and met with the mayor. And the mayor did a really nice job of laying everything out. Here's what we need to make sure we take care of with regard to the fair board. Here's what we need to take care of with regard to the city. We can't have exposure and liability. We can't do this and this and this. And Marcus Smith had done his homework. And he said, okay, here's what we want to do. We want to find a way to mitigate the noise for the people who live in that area. We want to be able to schedule when events are going to happen so people know what's going to happen for an event. So we want to be able to check all the boxes, guarantee you're not going to lose money, guarantee we're going to try to make money, we're going to redo this. There's everything. It seemed like everything. And Dale Jr. told me, he said, now I understand. He said, the governor explained what it's about. The mayor did a really nice job explaining all the different elements that were involved. And Marcus Smith said, okay, we're going to make this happen for Nashville, you know, for the city, for the fair board, for the people, for the race fans in Nashville and that part in Middle Tennessee, and of course, in the people who live there. So I think it's a win-win for everybody.
Dr. Jerry Punch here with us on Chasing Checkers. As you know, NASCAR is a big family, and that's one thing that I love about the sport, that they bring anybody in. And we've seen a lot of changes, especially in the last few years. And, you know, Bubba Wallace has led the way with a lot of that. But Kyle Larson, we know it's well documented what happened with him last year. He gets a second chance. He ends up at Hendrick Motorsports, and four races in, he's in victory lane. What have been some of your thoughts about Kyle Larson and his return to the sport? And it was a very quick return, albeit, but return to the sport, working for Rick Hendrick, and now finding victory lane.
Well, I mean, you did a nice job of summarizing what's going on. And in college. If you've ever met Kyle Larson, when you first met him coming through the ranks, you realize he came up through the diversity program. His family's got some Japanese descent, Asian American. And so the slur he made, the word he made, he just didn't think about what the impact of that would be and what it meant. And it opened his eyes in so many ways. And he went back, as you said, and did all the back stuff. So I think that, you know, not only did he go try to learn and understand, you know, the foolishness and of what he said, but also he wanted to make a difference to try to help educate other people. And I think that you know, he did it, and he didn't do it. Didn't want cameras following him. Didn't want stories written about it. He didn't do it because it was a media circus. He wanted to do it because he wanted to learn and make a difference. I think NASCAR saw that, and Rick Hendrick said, "Hey, you know what? This kid's obviously got talent, but we're going to give you. I believe in second chances. You know, I absolutely do." And so, you know, remember, Rick Hendrick is the same guy that you know took a leap of faith to start his race team and put Jeff Bodine in the car, mm-hmm. and took a leap of faith to bring Tim Richmond from IndyCar to NASCAR and stuck with him and, you know, through thick and thin. So, you know, bringing Kyle Larson back, Kyle couldn't have been more appreciative. And then Kyle goes and gets the win this past weekend. We all figured Kyle would win, but we thought it would be in Atlanta but because that's more of a track where he runs the upper lane right near the wall. Couldn't have been more happy for Kyle Larson and that whole team, and to get out and to show true emotion and to thank Rick Hendrick for giving him the opportunity. That's just what, you know, I'm a firm believer in forgiveness and second chances in our culture and in our world. So that everybody, we all make mistakes, but hopefully it's what we do, what we do with that mistake and what we learn from that mistake is really what defines us as human beings. And I think Kyle Larson paid his dues and hopefully is going to make a difference moving forward. And I love the fact that Bubba Wallace was among the first, if not the first driver to come to victory lane to congratulate him.
Yeah, absolutely. As we wrap this up and appreciate your time this morning, Dr. Punch, it's been a year since everything stopped. And I know a lot of the drivers have talked about that, and we opened this interview talking about the last year. But to see where NASCAR has come in that time, because they got new fans, people, for whatever reason, you know, but people were watching when the races came back. They've used this as an opportunity to help build the sport, because this has been an ongoing process the last few years for NASCAR to reshape some things, to get some fans back, to get back to their roots while also growing. So when you look at the state of NASCAR right now, where do you think it's at?
I think the last year has been huge. Even before the pandemic, I thought that Jim France taking over, the younger brother of Bill France Jr., and I've known Jim and Bill, we call him Billy, Bill Jr. for a long time, the late Bill France, and I just thought he came over, and Jimmy France is a racer. He's a racer's racer. He gets it. He gets it with teams and drivers and fans and tracks and promoters. And I thought he was really turning this battleship around and getting it headed back to sea where it needed to be, as opposed to being grounded where it had been a couple of years before. And then when the pandemic hit, you know, NASCAR, nothing against the NFL or the NBA or anybody else or college basketball, football, but nobody, and NASCAR did a really good job of basically turning on a dime and say, okay, we're going to get back, but we're going to do it the right way. And it took governors, you know, both political parties, you know, Democrats and Republican governors that had to sign off and agree to trust NASCAR and believe in NASCAR. You're going to come into a track where our whole state shut down. We're going to let you come in here and no fans, and the drivers can't even go to the garage here. They're going to come sit in their car and you'll climb in their race car, you know, and then there's not going to be minimal contact. You're going to race. Television's going to cover it. There's going to hardly be anybody there except for one announcer upstairs or everybody else in the studio. But NASCAR pulled it off. And I think that says a lot about the trust factor that these states had and with NASCAR. And then it began to build from there. I was actually in Bristol, Tennessee, the night they ran the All-Star race, and Bristol was one of the very first venues to allow fans back 25,000 to 30,000, and it was done so well. There were representatives there from the NFL, from major college sports, from all other professional sports. I happened to be in a suite up there. The governor of Tennessee was there with his staff. Everybody wanted to see how it was going to work. And I mean, Jerry Caldwell and his staff at Bristol Motor Speedway, if you got a ticket, I was downstairs watching people come in. They were so excited. On their phone, there was a ticket that told you what time to be at this gate. Be at this gate from 6:10 to 6:15. And you didn't have to stand in line. And so you weren't lined up with a lot of people. There was social distancing. Same way with the parking lot. People sat, on alternate rows. 30,000 people got to watch racing that night. And I mean, everybody in that suite was smiling and high-fiving. The NFL people, the college football people, that were trying to find a way to put people in stadiums. NASCAR showed the way. So with that said, I think that says a lot about the leadership in the sport. Jim France and Steve Phelps, Mike Helton, all the guys that are really pushing NASCAR where it needs to go. So I think the racing has been good this year. I almost hate to see this current car go, quite honestly. We've had such great racing on the mile and a half and surprise winners and Michael McDowell and Christopher Bell's already won. We talked about Kyle Larson. But they're moving forward. They're moving forward with the sport, which I think is going to allow them to recapture some of the magic that you and I fell in love with, decades ago.
Well, this has been a ton of fun, and I agree with everything you just said about it, and I can't wait to see where the sport goes. It's going to be good to have it back in Nashville as well. Dr. Jerry Punch, it's so great to talk to you. Always appreciate your time, and we will do it again very soon.
I look forward to it, Chase. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on, buddy.